Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true for even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got two dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/baseball.
JJ, you want to get a quick line in there and we'll see if Jeff agrees with you?
You seem top 10 after Caminero.
There is a new number one overall prospect, according to Baseball America, Scotty Braun with BA's J.J. Cooper and Jeff Ponce. And that new number one is in the big leagues right now. And his name is Junior Caminero of the Tampa Bay Rays. He must be a big deal, J.J. They traded away all-star Isak Paredes to make some room for him.
They were clearing the decks for our new number one prospect. The third number one prospect we've had this year, Jackson Holliday, James Wood, have also held that crown. I feel like that this is a very solid number one, you know, to ascend to the throne. Caminero has some of the best power we've seen in the minors this year and last year. We're seeing it now in the big leagues already. This is a guy who should fit in the middle of the Rays lineup for a decade, because it's the Rays, but for as long as they can, until they turn around and trade him for their next number one prospect, who they have in 2030, 2031, or whatever it is. That's kind of the Rays way. But Jeff, when we look at Caminero, I feel like that this is the kind of number one prospect who he could have been number one at any point in this year, and I'd have felt good about it, because when you talk about a guy with this kind of youth, solid hitting ability to go with this massive power, it's a pretty good package.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Caminero and there just aren't many players in the game that, you know, have the sort of plate skills that he has. You know, when we talk about contact numbers in terms of percentiles, he's in the top, you know, 70th percentile in terms of zone contact. And he does that while being in the 99th percentile in terms of 90th percentile exit velocity, max exit velocity, which in the minors this year was 117.2. You'd like to see a few more fly balls, a few more line drives. There's a heavy rate of ground ball contact, but I think you see that from younger hitters that have decent approach, that make good contact, and also make a fair amount of contact, a high rate of contact as well.
Do we think that this is going to be a long-standing star in our league? I mean, obviously, you guys are speaking very highly of him. The Rays are looking for players to build around for a long time. And hopefully, you know, if they feel that's the case, maybe they try and sign him up kind of early to an extension, because of the case of Rays players that get to 2 or 3 years left of team control and they move on if they become too expensive. So is this potentially a player, JJ, if we're looking at on-field progress, at someone that maybe in the offseason gets a pretty large offer sent his way, or too soon?
No, I think absolutely. I'd be shocked if the Rays haven't kind of already approached him about some of the, you know, hey, are you interested in a long-term deal? Because this is power that the Rays don't have that often. I mean, they've had a couple of guys. Brandon Lowe's obviously been healthy, a pretty consistent power source for them. But Caminero's a guy who could lead in the post Aaron Judge world, how about could lead the AL in home runs? He has that kind of power, especially as, you know, as Jeff said, as he gets older, as he matures and kind of learns when to lift the ball a little bit more often. He already does that some, but he really has a swing now that's kind of a hitter's swing. A lot of his power now comes from, he just hits the ball so hard. He also has kind of the ability to go oppo and clear, you know, hit the ball in the air on the opposite field and go out to right. You know, he can go out to the opposite field in a way that not many guys can. I think we're going to see more pull side power as he matures. But this is a building block type guy. This is really the best prospect that the Rays have had since a prospect who, you know, we don't talk about understandably now because of legal problems that much is Wander Franco. He's the best that they've had since then.
All right, so he's number one. And then after that, it gets interesting in terms of the theme of the top 100. I want to kind of put it that way. So where are we at right now, Jeff, with the Baseball America top 100 list? I see JJ shaking his head. Actually, JJ, you want to get a quick line in there and we'll see if Jeff agrees with you. You see
the top 10 after Caminero.
You agree, Jeff?
Yeah, I think the tiers just at the top aren't as separated as they had been over the last couple of years. We had very clear elite tiers over the last handful of years, you know, when it comes to the top 100 list. I think, you know, we were really spoiled a few years ago when we had Julio, Bobby Witt Jr., Adley Rutschman, you know, even coming into this year, of course, we had, you know, a bunch of potential number one prospects, three different guys that held that title that were all in that top 10 coming into the season. And I don't know if we have that clear-cut guy right now. I think for the first time in a long time, there's a pitcher that's legitimately maybe the number one prospect in baseball in Jackson Jobe. He's been performing like it lately. I think he's certainly in the conversation this offseason. It's just really tricky to, you know, hitch your wagon to a number one overall prospect who's a pitcher. I know Andrew Painter didn't end up being the number one, but was somewhat in consideration as a dark horse a few years ago, and then goes into spring training and we haven't seen him since. So, you know, it's one of those things where there's no like clear cut hitters we haven't seen at the major league level that performed in an outstanding way that makes you go, all right, that guy's clearly the number one or a top three prospect. We don't really have that conversation. It's this mesh of sort of like five to maybe even 10 different players that you could make a case for.
Yeah. The thing that jumps out is usually, like Jeff said, usually our kind of, you say, well, what makes a number one prospect? And usually it's the combination of a guy who has some of the best tools in the minors, who's reached the upper levels of the minors and been one of the best performers in the minors. You check those three boxes and you're a number one prospect candidate. We saw that with Jackson Holliday. We saw that with James Wood. We saw that with Junior Caminero, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. You know, we can talk about all these guys and they checked all those boxes. Well, the problem we have right now is the guys who tools-wise are your top position prospects, Dylan Cruz, Walker Jenkins, you know, Samuel Basayo, guys like that, have had either, you know, have had solid seasons, but none of them had that year where you say, okay, that's just heads and shoulders, the best player. Jackson Holliday was our minor league player of the year last year as one of the youngest guys at every level he played at. He was also one of the best players, best performers in the minors. The best performers in the minors this year are guys who are kind of in that next tier of prospects, a Christian Campbell. Trey Morgan's having an amazing year but I don't think that a college LSU product first baseman who was in A ball for much of the year doesn't have a ton of power. That's not a number one prospect. It's a guy who's having an incredible year, who's a good prospect, but we don't have that combo of the position player who's lit up the minors and on top of that has the tools that say, okay, this is a top tier prospect from a tools perspective. We have a little bit. It's going to be a very fun, interesting debate we have in the offseason if Caminero graduates at the very end of the season. If not, it might be one of the safer number ones we've had in a while, just because, again, I think Jackson Jobe, like Jeff said, is probably our other discussion. We do have some pitchers, Jackson Jobe, Chase Dollander, Noah Schultz, who are all interesting. Man, it's tough to go, okay, I'm going to go with a pitcher number one, even though Paul Skeens is making the argument that maybe we should be a little bit more willing to do that.
Yeah, and what he's been able to do from the jump in the big leagues, it's been special. So if you want more information on Junior Caminero, we did a whole prospect profile segment on him. We even talked about him quite a bit on a previous Hot Sheet show. So go check that out and make sure you get yourself a Baseball America subscription. Please subscribe to this page here on YouTube as well. And we will see you for more prospect profiles and Hot Sheet shows.